on, give it up for Jesus tonight. Come on, you can do better than that in Florida and around the world. And what about those Rev students? Where you at, Rev? Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's incredible. You can be seated, man. My voice is hoarse because I've been with these kids for 3 days, and they are screaming, yelling, partying. If this is any indication how great our church is going to be in the future, we are in good hands. Give it up for all the students. And all. I mean, they're smart. And then in Florida as well, I know there's actually groups of people and families there tonight that are going to get baptized. And so we do have everything you need to get baptized. If you need a shirt, we've got it. In fact, if you're going to get baptized, you probably ought to get baptized in our shirt. Then we've got towels. We got everything. Nothing prevents you from being baptized today here or in Florida. And so we believe in water baptism. It's an outward sign of what Jesus did with his death. When he died, this when you're going under the water, it's identifying with his death. When you're coming out and up, you're identifying with his resurrection. So it's incredible. So I'm so proud of you. And a big shout out to all the family members who came with your family to support them getting baptized tonight. And it's our first weekend of hot summer nights. Come on, somebody ought to make some noise. And if you don't know what that is, number one, even if the sermon's no good tonight, the food is going to be unbelievable. So you get to eat. There in Florida, you walk out of the chapel there, and there's a beautiful area here as well. Out here, we've got all kinds of great things, not only the baptism, but just hot summer nights. We do that for 4 weeks. Everybody shout, 4 weeks. So for the next 4 weeks, you don't want to go to church on a Sunday. You want to go to church on a Saturday. Or really, you probably want to go to church both times, right? Look at your neighbor and say, I love church. That's my subject matter today is I love church. Everybody shout, I love church. The band's going. I think I want to stop that. The thump. Everybody feel like the party's already going? You feel the thump of the bass? So our guys didn't catch it, but I caught it. So much better already. So just when they're ready to party already. They're like, shut up. The bass is thumping. Nelly's out there. No, he's not. But the church. Everybody shout it again. I love the church. Jesus died for the church. He said the gates of hell would not prevail against the church. Jesus said, I'm coming back for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. Now, right now, you know, there is spots and there are wrinkles. The church has difficulties. People have church hurt. I've been helped at church and I've been hurt at church. Churches where I've been told, hey, you're gaining weight. Church is the place I hear where they come up and say, oh, you know, you look younger on TV than you do in person. These are true statements that happen all the time. Man, you look tired. Are you okay? These are things that hurt at church. Come on, somebody ought to help me. But the same thing happens even if I'm at Walmart. People tell me the same thing because people are the same wherever you go. There is good and bad. Somebody ought to write a song in everyone. So church hurt, the enemy comes in, tries to really isolate you and make you think that, you know, you don't go to church because you're going to get hurt. The church isn't perfect yet, but it's in a process getting ready for Jesus to come back. Jesus is coming, by the way. He's coming. We don't know when he's coming, but he's coming real, real soon. Everybody else shout amen to that. I love that old song for us. People get ready. Jesus is coming soon and it won't be long. Google that. It's an old tune, but it's a good one. He's going to come back, and when he comes back, they're already kind of prepping on it for CNN and in the movies. They already know something's up, so they keep telling you, we're seeing aliens, and we don't know what's happening, because they want to try to explain away what they know is going to happen. But you ain't no explaining Jesus coming back with resurrection power in his hands, and the graves begin to burst open, and the dead in Christ will rise first to meet him in the air. Somebody ought to shout, he's coming back! Yeah. Coming back for the church. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So the church isn't done, you know. Right now we're rehabbing a house, and the problem with rehabbing this house is that I bought the house with my wife, and she didn't tell me, this is what women will do to you, young people. Listen, as you get older. Women will, even me, Nicole came to me when we first got together, and I thought she loved me, I thought she liked me. And then as soon as we were getting ready to get married, she said, you wouldn't mind getting your hair cut, would you? You wouldn't mind not wearing those shorts, would you? You wouldn't mind not wearing those boots, would you? And I didn't know how much stuff that was bugging her about me. In other words, she could see the possibility. Somebody ought to shout amen. So she wasn't going to discourage me with where I was. She said, I could do better, but they might have more problems. Maybe I could take a good man and make a little bit of a better man, and I'm going to tell him some things that he needs to improve. Well, young people, listen to me. Here in Florida tonight, Saturday night, girls will do that as well as somebody who get married. They'll buy a house, and they won't tell you. They say, I like the house, and you buy the house, and that's what Nicole just did almost a year ago. We bought a house, and she didn't tell me she didn't like the kitchen. She didn't tell me she didn't like the basement. She didn't tell me she didn't like the bedroom. She didn't tell me she didn't like the bathroom. She gutted the entire house, and for 1 year, we have lived homeless while they're fixing up the house. Now, they're putting in a bathtub. I went to the bathtub the other day, and there's dirt, and there's debris, and it's nasty, and I mean, these construction workers, they're chewing tobacco, cussing. God only knows what all is happening in there. I'm pretty sure there's definitely white powder at my house. Somebody see what I'm saying right now? I mean, it's just a mess. And while I'm walking around in there, I look at it, and I think, how in the world could this be a tub that I would want to get in? But they're in the process. Everybody shout, they're in the process. But they're not ready to present it to us. They're working on it. And so Jesus is coming back for a glorious church, and it looks a little messed up right now. Somebody ought to shout amen. But God's working on us, getting us ready, so someday we'll look a little better. Look at your neighbor and say, God's still working on me. Look back at him and say, don't try me either. Don't try me either. I'm holy, but I'm hood. Somebody else, I'm holy, but I'm hood. You got to watch me. So I love the church. I want to go to Acts 2. This has kind of been our staple last weekend, last Tuesday night, which is a different sermon. And then last weekend, and there it is. I know it is. It says, and those who believed, and I underlined that because I want you to shout that with me, class. Those who what? Believe. Then the next step after you believe, you say, hey, I received Jesus. I prayed that prayer. The next step is what? Baptized. So we believe in water baptism. You just got to do that. And they were added to the church. Those, they joined with the other believers and committed themselves to the apostles and the teaching, and I love that part, the fellowship. And that's one of the things I love about the church, especially Saturday night service during the hot summer nights, is the fellowship. When you do life alone, you get knocked off. There's no accountability. But when you're in a group, things look a little different. Me and my dad were walking down one day in a bad part of Guadalajara, Mexico. We'd just been speaking, and we had Pastor Omar. A lot of you don't know him, but he was Panamanian, and everybody thought that he was African-American. That's right. But he was really from Panama, which means he spoke Spanish, but he didn't. He just looked like, you know, everybody just thought, hey, this is just a really large black guy. But they didn't know that he understood the language. And when we're walking down this hallway and this alleyway, these two guys were talking in a language that we didn't understand, but they were saying stuff like, when they get around this corner, that's when we're going to knock them in the head and we're going to steal their stuff. They didn't realize that Omar, this 6'4", 250-pound Panamanian, is understanding everything they're saying. And as soon as we got right around the corner, he told them, number one, you're not in the language, going to do this, this, and this, which freaked them out, so they turned white. Then he told us, y'all better run, because they're about to go after you. My point is that don't do life alone. So the fellowship with other believers is where the connectivity happens, because one day, you're going to be weak. And when you're weak, you need somebody next to you to say, you're not going to go back to that former way, because that's not the answer anyway. The answer is found in Jesus and his church. Come on, roll, Paul. So they believed, they were baptized, and they joined the church with other believers. They committed themselves to the apostles' teaching and a fellowship. And then the next one said they worshiped together. They worshiped what? Together. They worshiped together. So it's important to go to church and worship together. Now, some people tell me, they say, you know, I don't believe in organized religion. I say, well, come to our church because it's not organized at all. Then people say, well, I don't believe that you have to go to church to go to heaven. And I go, I don't believe that you got to go to church to go to heaven either. But I don't think you got to go to a bar to get drunk. But I think there's a higher likelihood that you're going to get drunk if you're with your red solo cup brethren at the bar. I'll try it over here. Anybody know what I'm talking about right now? So there's a higher likelihood that you're drinking, but you're drinking a new wine with new friends, and they're escalating the way that you're thinking, and they're elevating the way that you're talking. And now the thing that the enemy had planned with you and for you, it just keeps getting tripped up because of the connectivity of the church and worshiping together. Anybody ever worked out? Raise your hand if you worked out. How many of y'all, you don't like working out? Raise your hand if you do it for a while, though, you do like it. But then if you stop, it's hard to get back on the wagon. Anybody know? How many of you fell off the wagon so long you don't even know if you can catch the wagon? You don't know what you're saying. Okay, so I get it. So the only way you're going to lose weight, the only way you're going to get in shape is you go to the gym. So we all know how to lose weight. We all know how to be in shape. We've all watched the videos while we're ordering pizza. We're like, yeah, that's interesting. So we know how to have six-pack abs, but the problem is, it's like, yeah, I know, Nicole tells me all the time, I know how to have buns of steel, but I love buns of cinnamon. Can I, see what I'm saying? So my point is that to get in shape, you got to go to church. To get in the Word and get the Word in you, you got to get around people who talk about the Word. So if we get too much of the world in us and none of the Word in us, we'll think, oh, we don't want to go to church because after all, that's where you get hurt. And I must admit, you will get hurt at church. But I got to tell you, get helped at church. The same church that hurts me heals me. The same church that sometimes hurts me helps me. So I got to take the good with the bad. Everybody shout, I got to take the good with the bad. People say, I don't want to join a church because I'm looking for the perfect church. Well, I say, don't join it because you'd screw it up. So don't, if they're doing good, don't join it. There are no perfect churches because there are no perfect people. Now, there's a perfect Savior who is the head of the church. And so he wants us to all come together and say, here's the church, here's the steeple, open the door, here's all the people. So they worship together. Everybody shout, they worship together. Now you say, why are you drilling on together? Because together really matters. We're all in this together. When you're in a tribe, when you have a unit, when you have a squad, when you got your homies, when you got your peeps, you stick together. But when you're alone, that's when the enemy comes in and says, hey, ain't nobody looking, you're alone. And that's why you have to keep clearing your history. That's why you have to keep covering your tracks. That's why there's a hole in your soul, because we got saved and we got baptized maybe, but we didn't get around other people and we're not worshiping together. Here's the question I have here in Florida today. How many of y'all, when you do go to church, sometimes it's hard to go to church. Raise your hand. My gosh, so hard, especially if you've got kids, craziness. Your hair goes crazy, gas, the devil, gas, $19 a gallon, everything's going on. You know, forget it, I'll just watch online. Then you forget it's Sunday. You're like, oh my gosh, it's Sunday, I forgot. And so then you give God a little bit instead of saying, no, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And so I ask if it's hard sometimes, and he said yes. But let me ask the next question. Once you go, do you ever feel like, thank God I went to church? Right? Thank God I went to church. Now again, you don't have to go to church to go to heaven, but there's a higher likelihood that you will go to heaven if you go to church, because when we get together, we're in the assembly of the believers and things just feel better. There's a real heavy statement called hell. And people don't like to talk about it, and I don't like to talk about it. But the Bible has two-thirds of the parables of the Bible dealing more with hell than it is with heaven. Because there's a wide road that leads to hell. You're like, are you one of those hell, fire and brimstone stories? I don't believe in hell. Well, someday you will. You might not believe in electricity and water. But don't ever try to dry your hair while you're in the bathtub, because I believe, unless you got a GFI, and I wouldn't even trust it. Don't mix those two together. So there is a hell and there's a heaven to gain. And so there needs to be a respect coming back, especially, and I love it among our students. Not only do they go to church, by the way, I just got a new fresh stat that just came out that it's only one in every six Sundays that people go to church. One in six. One in six. So that means out of 365 days, you only go to church 6 days. And most people are late for that. So let that sink in for a minute. So how are we going to work out, or how are you going to get your education? I'm going to go to college, but I'm only going to do it. I'm going to do it 6 days. 6 days. For 30 minutes. So no more than 30. I know it's an hour, but I don't like the whole singing part. So I'll just come. It's too loud. Too loud. I don't like that. No, we don't also come to church just to get information. Let's break that down. Information is one thing. Revelation is another thing. So information gives you some information. Everybody has information about airplanes. I have revelation about airplanes. I mean, that I have a license from the FAA that I don't just know information. I have revelation so I can actually fly it. So there's different levels of your life to where you say, hey, I'm not just going to get information about God. I want to know God. I want to be in his presence. I want to feel the fullness of joy that only comes from his presence in a local church. Somebody in Florida ought to shout amen. I'm talking about fellowship with other people. So I'm talking about get saved, get baptized. Y'all follow me? And then adhere to the teaching, and then start fellowshipping among the believers. When you get to know church people, there's a lot of good church people. Now, there's some crazy people, because we're a family. How many of y'all got a biological family? Raise your hand, you got a biological family. You weren't like a test tube, or you weren't made in a lab. How many of y'all really have a mama and a daddy? You might not even met them, but you got a mama and a daddy. So you have a family. How many of y'all got some family that you're like, I'd bring them to my work picnic, and you got some families you're like, oh no, no way am I bringing her to the picnic. Raise your hand. Yeah, I'm not asking who they are. And if you didn't raise your hand, I'm assuming you're the joker that ain't nobody taking to the picnic. You're like, they're gonna bust the cap at somebody. They're gonna do some crazy. So in church, there's no difference. We're a family. So we got people that are babies. My little grandson today, he woke up from a nap. He had peed all the way through his clothes, all the way through his like his blanket that they zip him down and weight him down. And I picked him up and I held on to him. And I'm getting wet. I'm walking downstairs. And I said, I need to change you because you wet. He said, no, I clean. You wet. And I said, we both wet. But the fact is, he didn't want to be changed. He'd be fine sitting there right now in his pee diapers because he doesn't want to deal with it. He screams and kicks, but that's the way it is at church. We should have little babies that need to be changed. Now, the little baby might be a big baby as far as like their spiritual age and their chronological age may be different. So they might be a 55-year-old biker with the tattoos, but on the inside, they're still babies. That's why Jesus said, don't offend one of these little ones. It'd be better for you that a millstone was tied around your neck and thrown in the deepest part of the sea than you offend one of the little ones. People think he's talking about babies and children, and certainly he is, but there's a thing theologically called the law of double reference, meaning that it is about that, but it's also about new believers. So when new believers come to our church, you're like, oh, they're doing this and they're doing that. What I like to do is have a church that's full of people that are kind of like the blind justice, okay? And the blind justice is supposed to have like a rag tied around and blinders on her eyes. And then her one foot is on a snake and the other one is on the Bible. And there's a sword in her hand, which represents the sword of the Spirit. And our church needs to be that way, that we're blind to what people do. And we don't judge people that sin differently than us. We love everybody. We bring them in and we let God work on the dirty bathtub. Get what I'm saying? So it's still in construction. Look at your neighbor and say, God's still working on me. Don't you look back and say, I can tell. That'd be wrong. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16. Florida, listen now. Do you not discern and understand that you, the whole church, everybody shout, church, at Corinth are God's temple, his sanctuary, and that God's Spirit, that capital S means the Holy Spirit, is dwelling in you, to be at home in you collectively. I love that, collectively as a church and also individually. So we are the church. Church is not a building. We are the church, but church happens collectively in a building. So Florida, you won't know what I'm talking about right now, but about 20 minutes from here, there's South County Mall. Anybody from St. Louis understand where South County Mall is? So South County Mall, if you take it a little further to Telegraph, anybody know where Telegraph's at, okay? Make a left on Telegraph, you go up, you make a left on Franview, and then you make a right on Olathe, and that's where I was a little boy, and I lived in that house. And so it had 1 acre, which it looked like 10 acres. Remember when you were younger and everything was bigger, you know? You're like, oh, my gosh, it's huge. You went back, and you're like, Elvis's house is a mansion. And you went back and said, oh, my God, this is little compared to most people's homes. So to me, I thought it was 1,000 acres with 1,000,000 trees. And my dad said, hey, now that we got this property, listen, Florida, he said, I'm going to build you a clubhouse. And so he bought this this book about building clubhouses. My dad ain't never built nothing in his life. But he had this book, and this book is incredible. I could see the clubhouse he was going to build. He said, we're going to build that one, and I'm so stoked about this clubhouse. Actually, I think it was called Central Hardware. Wasn't there a place called Central Hardware? Okay. So we went to Central Hardware. This is back before the big people like Home Depot and Lowe's took out the little guy. I'm just going for it right now. Okay. So here we are at Central Hardware. We buy the book, and so he's got enough money to build what is going to be about 10 foot in the air, the platform that the clubhouse is going to sit on. So we built the platform, which honestly is just about this size right here. And we got the 2x4s going up to the top, and there's the platform. And I got a picture of what's going to happen, but it never happened. All that happened was the platform. But now that I look back at it, I think, oh my gosh, maybe my dad never was supposed to build it, because actually my dad built me a platform. So here I am, a little boy, 10 years old. I'm going to the platform, and what do? On the platform? You do the things that you saw mom and dad do at church. So I started singing, and I started having church. And my cousin Tammy would come over, and I would sing and preach to her and my brother. My brother, I was watching this guy on TV, and I was a little kid. His name was Ernest Angley, and he would lay hands on people and stick his finger in their ears and say, baby, and they would get healed. And so I would try that with my brother. He was littler than me. And then I told him, hey, put your arm inside your jacket. And he did, and I prayed for him, and it grew out. And I'm like, praise God, look what God has done today. Oh, yeah. I was playing church. I was a little boy. But I was playing church because I went to church, and when I went to church, what I saw, I liked, and what I saw, I felt. And so my dad never did build me the clubhouse, but he built me a platform. And today, well, what do you know? Look at me on a platform. And you think, my God, if you've been practicing since you're 10, I think you'd be better than this by now. But again, I'm getting hurt in church. But now we got platforms at all these locations, and we got social media platforms. I'm just here to tell you that some of the things that even look like in your life that God didn't finish, maybe he didn't finish, because actually it was a platform to elevate you for the thing that's gonna come 5 years from now, 10 years from now. Somebody ought to shout amen. But if you go to church and you hear it, you go, God's not done with me yet. What he started in me, he's gonna finish in me. I give you 10 seconds to praise him today. Come on, Florida. Yeah. You got that picture of me? Did you show that picture of me? This is me at four. That's really me. I was four there. Now, that was way before I had a platform. I was just four. But how many of y'all look? It kind of looks like the boys practicing. I don't take credit for the bowl cut, but I mean, it was... We were on a budget. Church. So church is not just important for you. Listen to me now. It's important for your kids. Because if you didn't know it, here's a newsflash for you. The devil is out after your kids. Confusing them about who they are and whose they are. But let me tell you who's not confused. All of these students here and in Florida, they know I'm anointed, I'm appointed, I'm qualified, I'm destined for greatness, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I know the plans he has for me, and they're for good and not for evil, to bring me to an expected end. Ain't nobody covering that on the news, but I got some news for you. Faith Church is getting ready to evangelize the world. My platform will be nothing compared to their platform. Does that make you feel good? By the way, all of the people who tithe and give every week are the ones that made all that possible. And you do. Luke 14 is our main text as we kind of get ready for tonight. We're going to still have so much fun here and in Florida. I know Gabe and all the pastors there in Florida. By the way, I don't know if Austin's still in the building. He might already be out there dancing. But if Austin's here, maybe my son Austin, run up. I'll show him to the campus there in Florida. So we held him hostage here this weekend. So tonight when you get baptized and we go out and party, what you're doing when you get saved and you receive Jesus and you go out and do the baptism, what you're doing is you're identifying again, as I said earlier, with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. But let me tell you, when it does something to you that resets a lot of your life. So I do a lot of fasting, as much as I can. I intermittent fast every day, which means I have a window of eating and a window of not eating. I have a fasting app. And so like last week, I also added to that 36 hours of fasting. Actually 48. 48 hours of fasting. I just completed, before I preached, 36 hours. And the reason why is there's scientific math behind the fact if you fast for 36 hours, you don't eat anything, that it resets the dopamine centers and reactors in your brain. It resets your biome in your gut health. I'm 89 years old. Come on, somebody. But my point is that there are certain things that I do to reset my body, so your body starts eating fat cells and it starts eating cancer cells, and then you're putting in the right things to get your gut health right. So here I am in September 9th. You got to write that down. September 9th, I'll be 54, and I'm not on any medicine, and I feel great. But I'm just here to tell you that there are certain things that you can do to your temple that make it heal. So the same thing spiritually. Here in Florida tonight, this Saturday night. When you get baptized, and if you just decide, I want to do it, just do it. You know, there's a story in the Bible about a guy who came to a man and said, what prevents me from getting baptized? They were driving past the creek, and he said nothing. So you could say tonight, what prevents me from being baptized? Absolutely nothing. They're in Florida. We can baptize you right there in those tanks, or you can go across to the pond. It doesn't matter. What prevents you? Nothing but you. Well, my point is, just like I reset my body, I reset my spirit. And so if you've fallen into sin, you've gotten away from the Lord, you've done some things, you're like, man, I keep falling back into the same trap that I used to be in. Water baptism helps reset that, just like scientifically I can prove to you that your body will be reset, much of your body, after 36 hours. So there's things you can do in the natural and things you can do in the spiritual. And I believe I felt led to say that because I think some people are held by addiction and things that's holding them back, and they feel bad instead of getting into the presence of God and resetting themselves mentally, physically, and spiritually. Luke 14, let's go here. It says, then he said unto them, this is Jesus, there's a certain man who made a great supper, and he bade many to come. And he sent his servant at the supper time to say to them that were bid, come, for all things are ready now. And they all, with one consent, begin to do what? Make excuse. Shout it with me. Come on, everybody. Where? The first one said to him, you know, I bought a new piece of ground. Man, I got to go check it out. I got to work on the grass. I got to cut the lawn. So it may have an excuse. Another said, hey, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. I got to go prove it. In other words, I just got this new 4-wheel drive truck, or I got this UTV. That's my excuse for not going to church. And another said, hey, I just got married. You know what I mean? I can't go bow chicka wow wow. I cannot go to church. It's in there. So the servant came to him and said, hey, Lord, gives him all the excuses. Then the master of the house, being angry. Everybody shout, why? Being angry. One more time, Florida, why? Being angry. So God gets angry. He gets angry. God's not mad at you, but he has the emotions of anger. He said he's angry with the sinner every day. He's not mad at you, but it angers him when he knows when you don't go to church and he bids you to come eat the meal and he prepared the meal and the only thing he got out of making you was you worshiping him in his house. It angers him, and it doesn't anger him just because he created you to worship. He angers him because he sees how you're going to make decisions that alter your destiny, that mess up your whole life. Because knowing you, and look at all these fingers pointing back at me, knowing me, left to myself, I'll screw up my life. I'm one decision away from messing up this platform. And trust me when I tell you, I get loads of opportunity to mess it up. If I was a heathen, I'd be the luckiest dude in the world. But I don't believe it even happened if I wasn't who I'm supposed to be. But since I'm doing what God called me to do, the enemy will set you up to try to screw you up. Y'all, some of you ain't following what I'm saying, but you got to say, hey, I got to remember, I'm a servant of God, and God said, hey, I'm angry when you don't come to my house. So guess what? He goes on to solve the problem. Jesus says, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes and the cities and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, the blind. The servant said, Lord, I've done this just as you've commanded me. And it says, yet there is room. I look here tonight, you know, there's still room in the balcony. There's, I'm sure there, I'm looking at RPC, it looks like there's no room in your room, but maybe there's room in the overflow room or the outside area. There's room. Last night, my daughter went to a Taylor Swift concert in Kansas City with my wife and my daughter-in-law, and there were, I think, 85,000 fans in a stadium. $13 million worth of tickets, and there was not one seat available. And I love Taylor as well. Not one seat. In fact, more than the football games, because the football players have to have room on the field. But oh, not Taylor. She sold out every square inch of the football field. And they were excited, and they were screaming. Taylor came out, and they went, "Nah!" She's busted out their favorite tune. And all the fans know what it means. This is a song she broke up with that guy and did that. When she dated such and such, she did this. They know all the story. In fact, one thing I know for sure, don't ever date Taylor. Because when you break up, she going to be making money and you going to be making fun of. Raise your hand. You know I'm telling you the truth right now. But my whole point is not to dog on Taylor. I think it's great. My daughter and family win. But I'm saying, if you're God, just put, and you're a part of the Trinity. You got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God looks down at the Taylor Swift concert. He looks over at Jesus, who's at his right hand. And Jesus said, "Well, I wish they'd get that excited about me." And then God says, "Well, yeah, you did die for him, didn't you? Look at the nails in your hands, nails in your feet, scars on your head, yet there's room." This isn't dogging anybody. You gotta understand that people have feelings. And there's certain things you can say to me that hurt my feelings. I'm pretty tough because I've had to learn to be tough because, man, I would be out of this business if it were. I'll get emails about the jeans and the jacket and the jacket and the jeans and the striped shirt and blah, blah, blah. And then if I wore the stripes this way, they say you look like a barrel. It's too fat. If you go this way, it's skinny. Just, you can't believe the stuff that I get. So I'm here to tell you that you're going to get hurt in church, but you're really going to get helped in church. But the enemy has a plan, and it's called whatever the heck he can do to keep you out of church. COVID, don't go to church. You're going to die. You'll be a part of a super spreader. And then one day, COVID was just over. It was like Monday, we had it, and Tuesday, it was over. Come on, right? You understand? It was just gone. Just over. We're all going to die. Ah, we're done now. Huh? Now this will definitely be buried in YouTube and social media because I said COVID. I messed up. I should have said, you know, that thing that we talked about. The pandemic, okay? My whole point is this. The enemy's always got a plot, a plan, and a ploy that he's trying to deploy to get you distracted on everything but what really matters. Because Jesus really is coming back, and we got to be ready. And our job is to get as many people everywhere coming to church, learning about Jesus. Yeah, go to the Taylor Swift concert. I'm glad you did. You know, go to, what's the guy last night? Luke Bryan. He was here last night, right? Is that his name, Luke Bryan? Morgan Wallace, okay. Morgan Wallace, okay. So I was getting my IV shot. I get an intravenous IV every week for health. And the lady told me, I'm going to see, who is it again? Morgan Wallace, and I like his music as well. She said, but it's going to take my whole paycheck because the tickets are $200 a piece. And so it's $200 a piece. And I said, where is it? And they said, I think it was at Busch Stadium. He sold out Busch Stadium. I think Busch Stadium seats 50,000 people. So you do the math. $200 times 50,000 people. That's mayonnaise. Mayonnaise is a lot of money in the business of singing songs. But yet the same person won't go to church. And again, I'm glad you went. But I just want to paint the picture for her to listen to me. God is in heaven today. Jesus still has nail-pierced hands. And the Holy Spirit is still living and abiding on the inside of you. And he says, it angers me when you don't go to church. Not just because you're not there. I know you're going to go down the wrong path. So if you really want to look good, feel better, have better life choices, be blessed coming in, blessed going out, and everything you have touches, turns good, the best thing you can do for your kids is build them a platform. Let them perform at church. Let them lay hands on you. Let them sing in church. Come on, somebody ought to give God good praise. Stand up with me. Nobody leaving yet. Stand up here in Florida. And I want to pray. I want to pray for our church, and I want to pray for all churches. There are a lot of great churches in the world. And I did say world. I don't mean just America. I mean globally. When I think that this message today will be seen on Faith TV, the biggest network in all of South Africa, live tomorrow morning all through Africa. When I think about our friends and partners in churches that are such as Planet Shakers over in Australia, our friends in the Philippines. When I think about all the churches that we planted, Faith Church, you bought them, and you planted churches in India. 10 churches in India tomorrow will have church, and they got a big well outside where people walk for miles to get water, and it says Faith Church real big, and they hear the word. I think about the church. God didn't say, I'm coming back for a political party. He said, I'm coming back for the church. He didn't say, I'm coming back for a nation. He said, no, I'm coming back for my church. He loves it so much that he died for it. And if you really ever want to know the value of something, you'll just have to look and see if you're willing to die for it. I got a list. It's a real short list. It's actually on my arm. And it's got a list of the people that I die for. I love you people. But if you're dying, and I'm going to pray for you, but I ain't going to die for you because Jesus already died for you. But my wife, my kids, my grandkids, I'd die for them. That's the value. I wouldn't die for my watch. I wouldn't die for my car. I wouldn't die for my house. Everything material just goes away. You can't take it with you. But Jesus must have thought you were pretty valuable. Because if you were the only person in the whole world, Jesus would have said, that's my church. In all my failures, in all the stupid things I've done. I mean, just like I told you up here that I played church. I also got off the wagon and did stupid stuff and worked on my testimony. I'm a human. But in spite of all that, God kept looking and saying, guess what? I chose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God didn't erase me, he graced me, and he's going to do the same thing for you and with your family. And young people, listen, don't make instant decisions for instant gratification. Think about the long-term satisfaction. Don't go for it. Go for God. Stretch your hands toward me today, and I want to pray that prayer that the campus pastors prayed, and on Facebook and online around the world. I want you all to pray this prayer with me again, presupposing that some people at the beginning said, I'm not willing to make that step. I don't know if I want to be a Christ follower, but after hearing this message today about how much Jesus loved the church, about how important church is, how the water baptism is a big deal. Maybe God's tugging at your heart tonight and you go, Pastor David, I'm going to have Gabe there in Florida and the other pastors baptize me tonight, or here at Sunset Hills. I'm willing to go in. God, we'll all stand around these tanks tonight and we will shout and rejoice because heaven shouts and rejoices. But first, that first step is believing in our heart and confessing with our mouth that God raised Jesus from the dead. So everybody, pray it loud and strong. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on a rugged cross for me. And if it were just me, he would have done it. So if he would die for me, I will live for him. And I'm not perfect, but I'm turning my back on the past. I'm turning my face now towards the cross, towards the local church. From this day forward, I'm going to go to church. I'm going to read your book. And I'm not perfect, but I am forgiven. And God, I thank you that I'm saved, water baptized, and on my way to heaven. In Jesus' name. You know, I want Austin to come up because I wanted everybody to see him. Come on, give it up for Pastor Austin.